Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Triple Jump Podcast. It's a video game podcast. My name is Ben.
My name is Peter.
And my name is Ashton.
Good morning, everybody.
Hello.
Good morning, Ben.
Thank you for coming to class today. That's how I'm ad-libbing today.
Yeah.
Thank you for showing up to class today. How are we all doing? You okay?
Yeah.
We're all great in our own ways. Your COVID recovery.
I am. I no longer have COVID.
I am just out of the woods on non-COVID plops. And Ashton's just been...
I'm really tired.
Crying. Bless you.
Yeah.
Very busy few days.
I'm tired, yeah.
I am. All those things.
When I say just been crying, I don't mean 5 minutes.
Yeah,
ago.
I've just finished crying. They said, get in and do their podcast. Yeah.
We do have to do this every week.
Yeah.
It's a traumatic
kicking and
experience.
Screaming. I don't want to do the podcast.
So what we're saying is that we're all super flipping pumped to be here.
It's going to be a great episode.
To talk to you about video games. Because I had COVID, I had to cancel weekend and evening plans for last week. And I tell you what, the What We Play In section is going to be, it's going to have a duration on it.
Well, that's good because mine's pretty empty.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. Well, then don't worry, guys. If you want to hear about what we've been playing, which is a section that we may or may not have done before, I can confirm that we have been playing.
Playing things.
Yeah.
Things.
Exactly. Before we go any further, we are sponsored by a very real video game adjacent sponsor.
We are.
You did a sharp intake of breath there.
Yeah, because I got excited.
My warning.
I thought maybe warning. Warning signs.
Warning. No,
Has she not brought the...
I have. Never fear. I have brought the sponsor. Okay. So I might remember, I don't know if it was last week or the week before, Peter brought along a sponsor, Like a Dragon. Itchin? Was that...
No, that wasn't me.
Was that you?
That might be me, I think. Yeah.
Oh,
it was the new dermatologically.
Yeah, sorry. My apologies.
Dermatologically, is that right?
Pass.
Dermatologically?
Mm-hmm.
One of them.
Yeah. Well, they've got a different game coming out. We know that the game that they're coming out, Like a Dragon Ishin, is set in the 1600s. But they were like, maybe something a bit more recent. So they've gone for 1980s America.
Yes.
And we've got Like a Dragon, Bitchin'.
Whoa. That's pretty. That sounds cool.
Yeah.
Sounds
bitchin'.
Like Eleven from Stranger Things. She's the one in the GIF.
That does
bitchin'.
That.
Ooh. Oh, had a little bit of black screen there.
And the poltergeist was like, probably. Stop swearing.
Flip chin. That's cool. What happens in this game, please?
You basically just hanging around with a bunch of 80s teenagers. There's no like real crime that's happening, like you're just kind of milling around,
the
going to the
breeders,
mall
maybe.
No, Peter.
Oh,
don't be silly.
Oh, that would be silly.
They're
they didn't
teenagers.
Have dog breeders in the
80s. They didn't have dogs in the 80s.
No, dogs weren't invented until the 90s.
Yeah, dogs weren't real.
Yeah. You go to the mall, to the mall,
mall, yeah, the mall,
and then you hang around on the boardwalk.
Mm-hmm. Yesterday, what is that?
I think it's like a seafront. It's like,
is it?
Yeah.
Okay. Always wondered.
And the boards.
Yeah, and you go on skateboards.
Yes.
But you can't. Board. Actually.
What?
Related things. What?
Because it's not real.
Aww.
Oh, the
well,
camera's
and you've broken the camera.
Frozen.
It was such an intense sponsor that we've not even gotten 4 minutes into the podcast And we're back. There we are. If you're watching a video version, we froze there.
A little treat for you.
For a little bit.
Yeah.
So it's not real.
No.
That's really sad. I've spent that entire, as soon as you said hanging out with teenagers in the 80s, I've spent every single second since trying to do the mental maths to work out how old a teenager in the 80s is today.
Oh, they would probably be like
55?
Yeah.
Mid 50s?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Is that right?
They'd be a mum's.
Seems cruel, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Time's so unfair.
I was
unfair.
Trying to do the mental maths to work out what sort of kind of clique or theme there would be in the 80s. Like, for some reason, my head went straight to Greasers, who are like 60s, aren't they?
Yeah.
But I just kept imagining these 1980s kids in leather jackets with like quiffed hair.
Poochie.
In their
is
diners.
What is what you're thinking
Yeah,
of.
Poochie.
It's more like more preppy, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It's not the Greasers at all. But we got there.
And it's not real, so no one got to do any mental maths.
God damn it. So Like a Dragon bitching is not real.
No.
However, I'll tell you what is real. Patreon.com/Team Triple Jump, where for as little as $1 per month, you can support this podcast and Triple Jump as a whole and submit questions to this podcast. You want your question read out? You want a chance at that? Make sure you ask a question that we haven't done before, and there could be a chance, and you know, you'll be supporting us at the same time, so we'd really appreciate that. There's loads of other tiers available too, where you can get exciting rewards, such as worst games ever 2 days before everybody else, weirdest games ever,
a fan pack.
That's exciting. You only get one of those, to be clear. You can't like cancel and then resubscribe and then get another fan pack.
T-shirt.
If you really want to splurge, Peter will paint you a picture.
Mm-hmm. Live an on the internet. Picture. Whatever you like. You get signed copies of Worst Games and Weirdest Games Evers of Days Gone. Not Days Gone the game, but just
maybe
old well, possibly.
If we've got one.
But old episode boxes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All sorts of
Oh, the camera's frozen again.
Oh, how long has that been like?
Damn
that?
It. And it's like my face is funny again.
We need to keep an eye on that. Is it going to.
This
is what. See, Cultaholic have a producer who sits in here with us, with them. Maybe we deserve that.
Yeah.
So we can have someone who double clicks
and
deactivates and activates the camera.
Faff around with the wire a bit so it stops doing that.
Should I have a faff? Patreon.com/Team Triple Jump. And also, before we get into question one, if you go to triplejumpshop.com right now, we have in stock once more the, here we go, Sports Time t-shirts. Mm. A few of you have been asking for those to go back in stock because we sold all of them. So come grab yourself one. There's more there now. Peter, have you got the first question of it?
I have, but what I can say as well while you're fixing that is that if you go to the shop or if you go to Patreon and support us with either of those methods and allow us to, you know, earn a bit of dollary dues, we might be able to buy a cable/camera combination that doesn't just flip itself in the A every so often.
I don't really know what I'm doing.
No.
Well, normally it's like flipped over the top, but it's not flipped over the top today. It seems like someone's been moving the camera around.
It's just passed in front of the lens.
How's that?
That might. Right? Well, we'll just see, won't we? Whether
it's not like we're having sort of slight tremors that are knocking it out.
No.
Freezing it, so I don't know what could have caused that.
We'll find out.
We'll keep calm and carry on.
Yes.
Tis the way.
Yeah. So, it's time for question one from Blake Thomas. It says, "Heya, whoever the BAP is here today.
All of us.
It is spin-off time. What are some under-focused characters or mechanics from your favourite games that you think could make a great spin-off? Waluigi's Wacky Worlds, Mobile Blacksmith Sindri, We Can't Let Tiny Tina and Tingle Have All the Fun."
No.
No, we can't.
Cannot.
Tiny Tina, quite frankly, needs to stop having fun at this point.
Yeah.
Because it's not fun for us.
Tiny Tina's not Thunderland. I have come up with a spin-off.
Thunderland's more
like. Whoa. I've come up with a spin-off that I think could be great. It does say under-focused characters. And I think the characters in question probably did get a huge focus. They were main characters. But I think you could either have Portals GLaDOS or Portals Wheatley, and you play as them, but it's a management game. It's like a sim management sim game, and you create your own Aperture Science laboratory, and you can like build all the rooms. Mm-hmm. And I mean, that is obviously a very physics-based game when you are playing as Shell, so it might not work as well if you're just top down placing flippers and stuff that aren't doing anything.
Placing what?
Flippers. Flip
Jesus.
And cubes and stuff, because you would just be up in the sky looking at these physics-based items not doing anything. But perhaps it's sort of in the glory days of aperture science when they had various branches. And there's all sorts of like little interesting fabtractions that you can create. And maybe you've got like the robots Peabody and Atlas and people like that walking around and being your workers. You can be making turrets, you know, all sorts of things. Maybe you could use like interesting conveyor systems using the flippers and all that kind of thing. So I think that could be interesting.
Yeah, you need to stop swearing.
Just really chill.
Okay, I'll chill. I'll try. Maybe you have to like look out for Ratman who's hiding in the walls and like doing bad stuff, sabotaging.
Valve should just make another game, shouldn't they?
They should just make any game. Should, or just Portal 3, which is not a spin-off. But so I don't know. I kind of thought like, I'm sure there's a better answer. There's a more beloved side character that I would love to see a spin-off of. But I couldn't really think of a specific one. So I thought, hey, what about a Wheatley Aperture Science sim game? That's what I want to see.
I watched a really interesting video about Valve the other week.
Oh, I bet you did.
Yes.
Big nerd.
It's sharp. it's from a fantastic UK channel called People Make Games, and they've produced various pieces, and they're always really well researched and executed, and they've got lovely animations in them. And this one was about the internal structure of Valve based on sort of off-the-record interviews with several former employees and how it works. And the video, it's a long video and it goes into a great deal of depth, but I'm paraphrasing massively and oversimplifying massively. But basically, they have this internal review structure when it comes payday time at the end of the year when everyone's working out their bonuses, and people's wages will go up and down based on how they're rated by their peers, which has been, I think, proven several times in several different industries,
like that doesn't Black Mirror really episode.
Yeah, kind of. It doesn't really work because they've got like a flat tier structure. There's no bosses, traditional bosses, even though there are people who are higher up.
Yeah.
So people often spend the year contributing to things that they know will get them good marks at the end of the year, which is basically Steam upkeep or a big project that's ongoing that lots of people are working on, rather than striving out and making something interesting because they know that it might take 2 or 3 years to make, and in that time they could potentially see their salary cut because they're seeing as not contributing to Valve in that moment.
The greater good.
Yeah, exactly. It was really interesting, and you know, take it with a pinch of salt because I don't think Valve have commented on it or anything, but it was super interesting. And that's why you don't have your Portal 3, probably.
Yeah.
Which is sad.
Gosh darn it.
Yeah. Ashton?
I have a few. I've mainly gone for characters from games. I'd really like to see a Freya game from God of War. I'd love to see a bit more of her story and a bit more about her. I know obviously you can read all the Norse mythology and that, but I don't want to read. I want to play a game.
Books
all right?
are rubbish.
I'd also like to see a game about Pan Am from Cyberpunk 2077.
Of course you
would. She's my favourite and I think she's very pretty. And I'd like to have a game where you play as her as part of this nomad crew and you're like driving around together and exploring the world of Cyberpunk 2077 a bit more. Because you don't get to see much outside of Night City apart from the odd bit of like desert where all the nomads are, but it'd be cool to just kind of see more and drive around and have fun with Pan Am. Also, bit of an obscure one, but I would really like to have a game about the Huntress or Anna from Dead by Daylight, who's one of the like monsters you can play as. She's really freaking scary when you play against her because she's just humming. Like she hums around when you're like she's running around trying to get you. And her story is really interesting. Like she grew up with her mum and she was like taught how to survive in the wilderness on her own. And then her mum gets killed in front of her basically. And she starts like killing animals and then humans and then stealing little girls and wanting to keep them safe from the wilderness by tying them up in her house and then eventually they die.
That so sounds safe to me.
Yeah. She starts going to the village, getting kids and like killing their parents and bringing them back and then they keep dying. And she just basically has a big hatchet and she just kills a bunch of stuff. And I would be interesting to either like play as her or to be in a kind of outlasty situation where you're kind of encountering her in these woods and she's hunting you down. But...
Oh, yeah. You remember the lady in Outlast 2 who wanted us to be her husband or something?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was, our wife.
That was scary.
Our big wife.
Yeah, our big wife. Our big scary wife.
Yeah. But I'd really like to see a game about the Huntress because I think she's a really interesting character.
It's a bit of a common theme in Outlast because there's the groom, isn't there, in that spin-off, that DLC or whatever it was, Outlast 1, who also wants you to be his wife.
There's a lot of like spooky genital stuff going on.
We should just get them two together.
Honestly, they'd probably get on really well.
They probably would, yeah.
That's what I want. I want that fan fiction. I would read that, even though reading's for nerds.
Yeah.
I've got a pitch. Mm-hmm. How about another Final Fantasy VII prequel? What was Avalanche up to before Cloud joined? What were they doing? Were they just sort of falling over themselves being clowns? What I'm picturing is a 2009 clunky third-person shooter where you play as Barrett and the dialogue is poorly translated. The color scheme is dominated by browns and grays. And it has a weird mechanic where you earn your limit break by successfully completing a QTE, maybe a dancing game, perhaps, or something like that.
Right.
Everyone's going to love it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Across the board, it's agreed that the game is terrible, but it boasts 6 songs from the original game's soundtrack, and so a contingent of Final Fantasy VII fans will say it's one of the greatest games of all time.
Right.
And they will yell at you online if you disagree.
I feel like you're airing some grievances here in this question.
I just think there's some bad Final Fantasy VII games, and it's okay to say that. But honestly, I would probably see this come out and go, oh man, I quite want to play that. it's got Battle On in the trailer. I want to experience that. But I would be interested of all the characters that they've explored in the various pieces of Final Fantasy VII media. I'd quite like a Barrett game, even if it is just set in Midgar because it's such an iconic location, and just run around as Avalanche and pull off missions and stuff. Maybe you have the sort of meta game like in Assassin's Creed 2 or Brotherhood where you send your assassins off on missions and it's like it's in real time, like that come back in 4 hours and maybe your assassins leveled up and they've brought back some gold for your brotherhood however it worked, and you could maybe do that, plan these sort of missions and things like that, and it all builds up to the beginning of Final Fantasy VII where you hire this merc who Tifa says is like dead cool and he's got like a big sword and
pretty.
And he's so pretty. Yeah. What a pretty man.
He'd make a lovely lady.
He really would. So I started insincerely, but actually I've taught myself around. I'd like to play that game. So, but it has to come out in 2009. Has to be a bland third-person cover shooter because that's all that released in 2009.
Yeah, that's true.
There we are.
We know because we played a lot of them.
Yes, we were there. We were there. We saw it. It's time to move on to a section we've never done before. I don't know if you guys did it last week while I was off, but maybe one of you could fill me in on what it is.
I don't think so.
No.
I don't recognize
what's it called, Peter?
It says what we play in.
Oh. It's what we play in time to talk about the games, what we have been playing. Peter Austin, what we have been playing.
I've played a bit more of the indie game that I still can't talk about because I got a code like a month and a half in advance. So I will be able to talk about that next week on the podcast. So you'll find out about it then. I don't think I've said so far that it is an indie game. I've just said I've been playing a game that I can't talk about, and people might be getting really excited. Like I've had a Resident Evil code for a month or something.
Peter Austin, friend of indies.
I've not. It's very much an indie game, and some people it won't be their cup of tea at all. But I will stream it and I'll do a review corner on it next week. So you'll find out about that then. But principally, mainly, I've been playing more Dead Space. And I'm surprised I've still not finished that game because it's not like I've been... I've been putting the hours in, let's say. And I seem to just still have plenty to do. And I think it's because they have... Now, you weren't here when I was saying this, actually, Ben. I was talking about this last week. They have... made that game more open than I realized when I did our review corner for it. So, like, it used to be that you would travel from one area of the ship to another on a tram system, but now they've actually connected all of these areas.
You can
walk there on foot if you've unlocked them in the story. And I think there are just way more side rooms, and possibly there are side objectives that weren't in the original. Maybe they were in the original, but I don't know if I maybe played them at the time. But I feel like I've just got, like... a whole checklist of things to be doing and rooms to explore, and you keep unlocking the ability to like open doors and containers that have a security level on them. So eventually you'll like reach security level 2 or level 3 and you can go and you'll be like, oh, there was a level 3 chest in that room in medical or whatever. So you're doing a lot of traveling around and going a little bit off the beaten track at times. So although I've been playing that game plenty, still not finished it.
So what I'm hearing is we're going to be playing that game for the rest of the year.
Well, this is the thing. I thought if I come to the podcast and say that, you guys are going to think, oh, we're going to be playing that for ages now. I think if we just focus on the story, if that's what we want to do, it probably won't take that long.
Okay.
But it's the kind of game where there is actually more to do than you would think, given that it is, to a certain extent, a linear game. But it's sort of open linear, I think, in this new form. So I've been enjoying that, and we will now have streamed it by the time this podcast goes out. We'll have done our first.
No, we won't.
Next week.
Oh, of course, because it's Celebration Week.
It's Celebration Week.
Finally.
I brought my copy in of Dead Space just thinking it's time to play Dead Space. But no, we delayed our celebration. So
we did.
Next week, we'll be playing Dead Space.
How's the map system in that game? Does it work kind of like the Resi remakes of recent years where it shows if there's a room that you haven't got all the
it
stuff?
It shows if there's a room that you've not been in yet.
Okay.
So it shows what's explored and unexplored. And that is one little downside to that game, which is that you can go into a room for the first time. There can be a locker there that's got like maximum security access required on it. And you'll think, oh, okay, I'll have to come back when I've got that. And then you leave the room and it's been marked as explored. And there's no marker on there to say there's a locked locker in here that you've not been in yet.
Right.
So that is also actually what has taken some of the time, is that I've been backtracking and just generally sticking my head in every room that I walk past and thinking, oh, was there something in here that I don't know? And I've been trying to keep a mental note. Like when I've found these lockers that I can't get into, I'm like, okay, when I've got level 2, I've got to come back here. And, you know, I'm sort of thinking like, yeah, there's one in engineering, there's 2 there in that area. And so, yeah, it would have been good to be making notes as I go, I suppose. But that's, again, nerdy and lame and boring.
Who can be bothered with that? Not me.
So it would be nice if it would just mark these things down. When you find something that you can't open, if it would just stick an icon on your map, that would be good. But, yeah, no, unfortunately, it's just whether you've been in the room or not. That's it.
That's a shame.
So that is a shame. But I am really enjoying it. It's a really good game, and I can't wait for us all to play it together in a week's time.
Yes, me too. Looking forward to it.
Ashton, what have you been playing?
I have been playing some more Professor Layton and the Curious Village, solving puzzles. I had a train journey this week, so I spent all of the train journey just playing on my DS, watching a movie on my phone. And then I've also been playing some Mafia, the Definitive Edition.
Ooh, how is that?
Yeah, it's quite good, actually. It's a lot more, like, I don't want to say linear, but it's like, you go from mission to mission to mission. Like, there isn't really any, like...
Oh, so it's not really open world.
No, which I thought it was, but maybe it will eventually open up. But I've been playing it, like, I'm probably on, like, chapter, I don't know, like, 8 or 9 now. And they're not very long missions. They're, like, quite short. But, yeah, I mean, I'm enjoying it. I think it's interesting.
I do like that setting for games.
Yeah.
I do enjoy that.
Yeah, it's definitely, like... And driving around in the little cars, they all have the little, like... the horn that's very nostalgic. So whenever I hear it, I'm like, if someone beeps at me and I beep
takes
back.
Takes me right back to the 20s.
You know, just whether you hear like when you watch like the 20s like TV shows and stuff, it's always like, and I'm always like, back, because I just want to hear my horn.
Yeah.
But I've been playing quite a lot of that and it looks really good, like visually. There's one mission quite early on where you have to win a race against a bunch of other cars, and I had to do that one like 4 or 5 times because you have to win, otherwise you have to do it again. And man, they each took me like 5 minutes, so I was doing it for like almost an hour just faffing doing this thing. I had to Google like, is there like a shortcut, like am I doing it wrong? And it's just like, do not accelerate basically for the entire corner, just don't bother, because they just spin out and you end up the back of the pack again.
I just think it looks really weird when like 1920s cars are racing, like I know that racing is pretty much as old as cars, but you know, or like when you're in on LA Noir and just going really fast and like crashing the car, it just looks really weird with those box
well, these ones are like cars. actual race cars that are, right, like, because you're on a racetrack and you're trying to win the race, but they're, again, the wheels are like sticking out the sides and the wheels are like this big and you're like, there's absolutely no way.
Like bicycle wheels.
Yeah, basically. But I think it's good. I've enjoyed it so far and I'm definitely going to keep playing it. So
good. Well, so, I look forward to hearing more about it because I really like Mafia 2 and I've been eyeying this one with interest. Bless you.
Bless you.
Excuse me, sorry.
Scared the bejesus out of me.
Sorry.
Is that all you played?
That's what I played this week.
Okay, are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Hi-Fi Rush. I've played and finished it.
Like it?
I did like it, yes. I don't feel I love it as much as everybody else does. Right. I will say that. But I think it's gorgeous and really fun. Mm-hmm. And I love how the world moves to the beat. And on the whole, I had a really good time with it. I played most of these games through the lens of grumpy, sleep-deprived, feverish COVID
delirium brain.
Yeah, so I perhaps didn't have as much patience as I would normally have. So it took me a good long while to get the combat down. But once I got it down, I was having a good enough time.
Yeah.
I think what a lovely... Hello?
Sorry.
What a lovely surprise. Your phone, okay?
Yeah, it's fine.
It'll be all right out there on the floor. What a lovely surprise.
Yeah.
Hi-Fi Rush. What a genuinely lovely surprise. And we will see how... It's already getting some Game of the Year conversation around it. For me personally, I don't think it's going to be in that conversation. Mm-hmm. But to make that impact off no promotion whatsoever is really impressive.
Yeah,
and I anticipate a sequel highly. And I'm actually... This, I think, is the first Tango Gameworks game that I have played that I've really liked. So keep it up, guys. It's taken you a little while. I've also played more Golf Story, the sort of pixel art. I was trying to, I remember last time, is it 8-bit or 16-bit? Pixel art is the word I was looking for.
Yeah.
Golf RPG. It's lovely. It's a great little game. It's quite funny as well, the dialogue, the way it's represented as well. It's all speech bubbles, but it'll... normally with a speech bubble in a game like that, the text would just appear on screen, you know, scroll across, but it's deliberately slower or faster, or the entire speech bubble will wobble depending on the tone that the person is taking. And I think it's really effective. I feel like I'm about to sneeze, but I'm not. So I'm going to continue.
Right.
So played some more Golf Story, Gears of War 4. I've started that in co-op. That's not grabbed me as much as the other three Gears of War games so far, but it certainly is Gears of War, so I'll be playing more of that. I bought and started Outer Wilds because everyone says that's amazing, and I immediately took off in my spaceship and flew directly into the sun, and I closed it because I wasn't ready, I think, for a game like that, so I will return to that game. Call of Duty Infinite Warfare I played. I bought that at the same time I bought Advanced Warfare because those two were games that I hadn't played single player campaign wise with Call of Duty. And as I've said before, those are my guilty pleasure games and I really wanted some comfort gaming food. And I really liked that campaign. I honestly, bearing in mind that this is the game that had at the time the most downvoted trailer in YouTube history.
Yeah.
I don't know if you remember that because people were fed up of the ridiculous futuristic Call of Duty stuff and they wanted it to go back to sort of the past or modern day. I really enjoyed that game. The campaign is like sad. It ends on like a sad note and I thought it was really effective. Again, COVID brain. Take it with a pinch of salt, if you will. But I was very surprised by that game and I liked it a lot. God of War Ragnarok. Got the Platinum Trophy, finally.
Nice.
They patched the issue that I had with the ravens. Mm. And it turns out I did need to have all the ravens to get the trophy because there's one for collecting all the relics and getting all the ravens gives you a relic.
Yeah.
So I'm glad they fixed that. So it was just a case of polishing off the last few, what are they called? The combat trial things and also buying some things from the blacksmith that would give me the remaining shields and relics because I'd already fulfilled all the criteria for it. So that's done. That's good. I was very productive in terms of clearing some stuff off. I also played a little bit more Persona 3 Portable because I foolishly persuaded myself, hey, I've come this far. Maybe I can get the platinum. And then I hit another brick wall and decided, actually, you know what? Flip this. This is stupid. I hate this. I can't be bothered. So again, that's gone back on the shelf. Disco Elysium. I finally came back to it after starting it last year and only playing 8 hours. I have now finished it. What a game. What a fantastic game.
So I'm told.
I had a real issue with talking to literally everybody and exhausting all the dialogue. And there is so much world building that at about the halfway point, I just had to stop doing that because there was too much going on.
I think you said that exact same thing the last time we talked about it.
I just felt like there's a murder to solve and I'm going to miss something. Mm. But then once the murder train starts to roll and you start to work out what's going on, the general information you get from other people is just sort of like superfluous world building stuff. Mm-hmm. You don't need it. That's a flipping great game. Glad I played that. Got the platinum in Unkimaki. Followed a guide, played through that, got the platinum in that, and also got the platinum in Dark Knights with Poe and Munro, which is the other Wales Interactive game I was talking about the other week. Mm-hmm. I played it all with the sound off. And had something else on the TV watching that. So I haven't spoiled it for myself, so I can still go back in and play the last few chapters with people when it's time to do it. And that is what I've played.
Amazing.
Wow. How, you were only off for like a week.
I know. It just goes to show how much you can get done if you're sick and also if you were planning on doing things at the weekend and then are not allowed to go outside.
Yeah.
I feel accomplished for having cleared loads of stuff off the backlog.
Congratulations.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you so much. I'm going to have a drink of water now.
Okay. I'll read the question while you do that. Next question comes from Rock Reese. Hiya, BAP, BP, AB, or AP. I got a pretty simple question this time. How much does playing a game in co-op affect your enjoyment and or take on the game itself? Just curious, as I know Ashton loved Saints Row and Far Cry 6, but if they didn't have the co-op, would either of them have been such a highlight for you? Also, Ben with Souls Games and their version of co-op. If that wasn't in the game, would the franchise suffer? Thank you, Rock Reese.
Thank you. I don't play co-op or multiplayer at the moment. I haven't done really, apart from like when we've streamed stuff together at the office. I just don't play multiplayer games at home. And I think that's partly because couch co-op is less of a thing. And if it was still as popular today as it was in, say, the noughties, then maybe at home I might be playing the occasional bit of co-op with Amy, but really as it stands, like I think it's partly based on the fact that I have a kind of a very sporadic gaming sort of schedule, and I will decide almost at random, okay, I can spare an hour or two to play a game right now in this moment. And I think if I'd started a game with a friend online, I would feel like I was kind of holding us back. I was, you know, they were wanting to play a bit more of whatever game and say, hey, you free tonight? I'd be like, no, not free tomorrow either. Not free the day after. Or, you know, it would be kind of out of nowhere. I would say, hey, have you got an hour and a half right now? So I don't think the way that I play is kind of suits online co-op very well, and couch co-op sadly is not so much of a thing anymore, so therefore co-op really doesn't factor into my enjoyment of a game at all, because I simply don't do it. The one thing I do like about seeing co-op in games, particularly couch co-op, is that I know it would make a good stream game for us. So that's always a good thing to see. It's like, oh, there's a potential game we can all play together,
although or a good games night game.
Although we have now got into the habit of just passing the controller on single player games, which works just as well. So it doesn't matter so much. But there was a time where we tried to play multiplayer games where we could, and it's always good when a new co-op game comes out for that. But yeah, not doesn't really factor in for me very much. Ashton,
you're
mentioned in the question.
Thank you so much for the name drop. I really like co-op games. I think that it's a lot of fun to play games like Far Cry 6 and Saints Row with someone. I think partially I just like to hang out with people and chat while I play games anyway. Like, even if me and my partner aren't like playing the same game, it's nice to just be sat next to each other so we can just hang out, because I just like hanging out. So I do think I do prefer when a game has co-op, because it means I can play with someone else and we can experience things at the same time. But I also don't think that every single game has to have co-op. And I also think that, you know, certain games probably work better if you can enjoy the experience on your own. Saints Row, for example, I mean, really broken, but sometimes you were like, wow, if only there was just one character here, it wouldn't look so insane. But there's two people here with ice creams on their heads and we just have to move on with our lives. But I do think that maybe they wouldn't have been as much fun for me if they weren't in co-op. Probably would have given up on Saints Row a bit earlier. But I do have a sneaking suspicion that I probably would have still played both of them to the end, because I did kind of just like playing them on my own sometimes, just mopping up all of the stuff to get trophies. Even though Saints Row is so broken, I'll never ever be able to get the trophies in that game. But yeah, I think co-op is great. And I think that for games like Far Cry 6 and Saints Row, those open world kind of wacky, over the top kind of games, they work really well in co-op because you can just pick them up and play them for like an hour and then put them down, leave them for 3 weeks, come back to it. And you don't actually really have to know what's going on. You can just run in a certain direction and probably encounter something. So yeah. I do think co-op's great, and I do think co-op does affect how much I enjoy the game, because most of the time I enjoy it more if I'm playing it in co-op, just because of the people I'm playing it with. So,
completely agree. Yeah. We used to say it a lot on this podcast, actually, that co-op makes any game fun.
Mm-hmm.
And it could be the worst, most broken, buggy, boring thing in the world, but hey, you stick an online co-op mode in there, you're going to have fun. It's mm-hmm. going to be at least entertaining to laugh at all the mishaps that are going on. Far Cry 6, I don't think it's a very good game. Honestly, I don't. But I had a lot of fun in co-op.
Yeah.
And the amount, the sheer number of saved clips I have on my PS5 of things going wrong,
yeah. mm-hmm.
falling through the world, clipping through walls, all that kind of nonsense. Like the other player just sort of spasming uncontrollably, like flailing limbs all over the place. So many. And all of those clips were really fun. And that's not intended fun from, yeah. from the developer. That's no. just, I feel like co-op lets you make your own fun.
Yeah.
And you're right, Ashton, in that co-op is, it's rare that you'll be playing a co-op game where both of you are sat in complete silence, completing yeah. objectives, or listening to music independently, or listening mm-hmm. to podcast independently. You'll be chatting, you know, it's a social thing as well, where you might go quiet for a cutscene, but you know largely in the in-between times you'll just be talking to each other.
Yeah.
In terms of Dark Souls and Soulsborne and FromSoft games, it's difficult to really say definitively if the franchise would suffer or not. I know for me personally it would, because that's how I got into the series in the first place. And I know a lot of people got into the series and FromSoft games in general by playing co-op with more experienced players. Some people are, you know, absolute mad lads who just go in there and play single player and just think, this is the greatest thing ever. I'm well good at games, mate. But a lot of people need a helping hand getting into that series, and co-op is how they do it. I think Sekiro probably stands alone as the most Soulsborne-ish game they've made that doesn't have any form of co-op. And that game suffered for me because of the fact it didn't have co-op, because I know that I would have played through the whole thing and probably had a much better time if it was in co-op, because I was just unwilling to learn these new mechanics and this new control scheme.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people flipping loved it, but I think Sekiro had the advantage of, you know, coming after Dark Souls 1, 2, and 3 and Bloodborne, in that that player base was already there and had been sort of exposed to punishingly difficult video games. So they were more conditioned to go into it. Whereas if they'd have started with Sekiro, it would have done well, and it would have been reviewed well, but I don't think it would have had anywhere near the player base it would have had if it hadn't released at that point in the chronology of FromSoft games.
Yeah.
There we are. That's what I think. Mm.
I agree with you two as well. I don't know if I actually made it clear that I think co-op is a good thing, online or offline. But yeah, it doesn't fit in with my schedule. But that's not to say I don't like it. I don't think it's a good thing. I agree that it's great.
Yes. Yeah. We all love Try here at the table.
We do.
We all love Try.
Love it so much.
Yeah.
It's time to move on to something else, Ashton.
Yeah, something a bit peculiar, a bit strange maybe. You might even call it weird.
Weird.
News.
News.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
It's time for weird news. If you would like to submit weird news to us, you can go to our social media platforms and reply to the relevant posting. However, if you would like to guarantee a shout out at this point in the show, you need to go to patreon.com/Team Triple Jump, support us at a certain tier, and become a podcast producer. Here are the podcast producers for this week.
Thank you to Nathan,
to GY Goliath,
Nexus Polaris,
Duncan Wilson,
Nicole Hansen,
Ellie Nicholas,
Gabrielle Philipping,
Melody L. Bonet,
Katie Garrett,
and Blake Thomas.
Thank you, podcast
Thank
producers.
You, podcast producers.
Thank you, podcast producers.
Thank you so much. Peter, have you got some bizarre news?
I have got some bizarre news. Thank you to everyone who did submit bizarre news to the posts that Ben just mentioned. But I did, just before the podcast started, I saw some weird news of my own. So this was submitted by Peter Austin.
Wow. Aged 30.
Kotaku, written by Zach Zvizen. VR chat sex worker denied entry to US over prostitution, in air quotes.
Oh.
UK-based Hex wanted to visit friends in the US, but was barred from entering due to her virtual work. Oh, dear. An online virtual reality sex worker was left confused and frustrated when, after applying for a United States tourist visa, she said she received a letter explaining she was permanently ineligible for admission to the US. The reason given was prostitution.
Oh my god.
In online VR games like VR Chat, players can hang out, chat, play mini-games, explore player-created worlds, and even attend in-game concerts and parties. Of course, this being the internet and humans being horny, which is hyperlinked, I'm going to click on that.
Does it explain what horny is?
Yeah.
From VR to vibrators, video game sex tech now has infinite possibilities.
Brilliant.
It is a different article.
What an exciting world.
It's a feature. So, the internet being the internet and humans being horny, some users also engage in sex in these VR spaces, so sex work naturally follows. Hex is one of those users. She makes a living in VR chat as an online sex worker, hosting shows in-game and posting photos and videos to her Fansly page.
It's like OnlyFans.
Right. She also, thanks, Ashton.
No problem.
She also streams herself using a custom avatar that tracks her movements in real time. Most of her content on Fansly is virtual, though she does post some IRL nude images too. Hex, who lives in the UK, recently talked to Motherboard about her frustrating experience with US immigration authorities who denied her access to the country while she was trying to get a temporary tourist visa to visit friends. Hex told Motherboard that when she explained what she does for a living, the response was pretty negative. When I was at the interview, I told the officer everything, as my Fansly is virtual reality content from a game called VR Chat. I do post IRL pictures of me via a paywall, and I do not meet anyone IRL from that platform, Hex explained. She said that in response, the woman she was talking to gave her a very dirty look. Hex then explained further, telling the officer that all of her work was done in a virtual game using VR headsets. But according to Hex, the woman interviewing her didn't understand anything and asked her if she ever meets with these people in real life, to which Hex said, absolutely not.
Wow.
I think the article goes on, but
it's pretty transgressive, isn't
that's
it?
That's the long and short of it. So apparently if you're a sex worker on VR chat, now you are a prostitute as viewed by the United
I didn't realize that was so a reason wild. For not being allowed into a country.
Well, it? Yeah, I mean,
because surely they could say that, like, if you've got an OnlyFans account, like, does that count?
Well, yeah, what's the difference in that sense?
So, she's not even, like, actually putting that much of her own content. It's just virtual stuff.
It's just a virtual character. But there you go. Wow. So that's pretty weird.
That is pretty weird.
News. And be careful.
You're looking up her account now?
No, I am absolutely not looking up her account. I don't think I used the word transgressive, right? I was just double checking. I don't think I did.
Oh, nerd.
No, sorry. I meant the opposite of progressive is what I was trying to do.
Right.
I don't think that's what transgressive means. I just had a little panic, like, that's not what that means.
Yeah.
And it's not.
No.
What am I trying to say?
Help. I know what you're trying to say, but I don't know if there is a word for it.
Conservative?
Backwards?
Yeah. Backwards, yeah.
Yeah.
That's probably what I was trying to say.
Yeah.
I didn't realise you could be banned on such grounds. You can come in, but don't be doing any sex here.
No.
How can you police
because
that?
Because you've done the sex already.
Don't be doing any sex here.
Don't do it here.
We don't like it.
I mean, I suppose...
Not allowed in because of sex before marriage.
Next question. Are you married?
I suppose immigration can choose to not allow you entry to a country if they believe you've broken the law. So if you've got a criminal record, then obviously they might say, well, you're not coming in because you stole from a shop or something. But then, obviously, this person doesn't have a criminal record for being a sex worker on VR chat. But maybe they think, well, we know that you, quote unquote, do prostitution. Mm. Therefore, we're saying that you are a criminal. But the problem there is the leap from VR chat sex work to you are a prostitute. But
I'm also incredibly interested in how that even works, like how you have sex in VR chat.
Mm. Well, I think you just...
I think I probably can figure it out.
Yeah.
But is it just what are you wearing right now?
Yeah, it probably is just sort of phone sex in a way. Unless you have, as that feature you clicked on, various whiz-wazzes and dongles.
Yeah, I bet there's all sorts. That
USB
can...
dongles, etc.
Yeah.
Who knows? Maybe we need to get someone in that profession to talk to us about it.
I think just the two characters...
Yeah, I would actually really like to know.
...in the world go together and then, like... just face to face, and then they both turn on the dance animation, and that's just how it works.
And then one of them clips through the wall slightly, and you go to kiss each other, and you go inside their head and see their eyeballs.
I think
that's how it works.
Sounds pretty sexy to me.
Yeah,
does sound pretty sexy.
Well, we're putting you in charge of that, Ashton. That's now your next video. You've got to.
I kind of actually do really want to figure it.
We won't be able to monetize.
I think
it
I
on
watched.
YouTube,
I think I did watch like a documentary about this kind of thing on YouTube.
I think
once.
People Make Games did one for like Second Life.
Yes, actually. I think that is the one I've watched.
So, track someone down, Ashton, and talk to them and make a video about it.
Okay, well, I'm going to talk about something equally as sexy right now.
Go on.
From Kotaku by Alyssa McCante. The Witcher 3's next-gen vaginas were unintended, Dev says. Looks like the realistic genitals weren't supposed to be in the fantasy RPG. Honey, hurry, they're going to nerf The Witcher 3 vaginas. Kotaku posted a story yesterday pointing out The Witcher 3's next-gen update added realistic vaginas and stressing that these kitties were one of the many fan-made mods CD Projekt Red added to the updated game. In the original Witcher 3, women who were shown in full frontal nudity had no visible genitals, just a sort of smoothed over Barbie doll area. In the next-gen update, which released for free this past December, it seems that the crones from Crookback Bog and the Bruxus, the only women NPCs that regularly do full frontal without any obscuring shots or panties, have landing strip-style pubic hair and visible labia.
You tried
good,
not to smirk
there.
Yeah. It's good for
those bog witches. I'm just so happy for the bog witches.
Yeah.
It's good for them.
Yes. And they've all got to have a bog witch Brazilian as well.
Bog William.
When reached for comment, CD Projekt Red initially told Kotaku the company was looking into it and will have more information in the coming days. But now it seems that the vaginas were added by mistake. At least that's what they're telling us via a statement in an email. This is a quote from CG Projekt Red now. The next-gen version of The Witcher 3 Wild Hunt featured several community-sourced mods not created by CG Projekt Red, on top of numerous enhancements created and implemented by the studio internally. Merging everything together was a complex process, and the textures in question are an unintended result presented in the released version. This is something that we are working to address.
Right. That is not quite... That implies that, like, we put together all the intended mods and updates that
and
we wanted to
accident.
Do. And whoops. Somehow, the textures
somehow
out
Pavel's personal
and
mods
made perfect anatomical vaginas with labia and landing strips.
Yeah.
God works in mysterious ways.
What they mean is a vagina mod was accidentally added in and they didn't mean to do that.
See, that's the version of this story that I've heard, is that the mod creator was crossed.
I didn't give permission for this. Maybe it continues in the article.
I asked if that meant the vaginas would be removed from the game entirely, but have not received a response by the time of publication. If that is the case, however, and certainly seems like it, that means the... Oh, you're going to get so mad.
Kitties.
That means the Chronoses may get nerfed in a future Witcher 3 update.
For God's sake.
If you too find it hard to believe that a game like The Witcher 3, which has a ton of female nudity and absolutely no dicks, would accidentally add realistic vaginas in an update, then join the club. The vagina mod in question was wildly popular, and CD Projekt Red shied away from showing people's bits in the past. Hi, Cyberpunk 2077. But perhaps admitting that they went ahead and folded in the labia mod is a bit much, I understand. While landing strip pubes and perfectly neat labia aren't the best representation of vaginas we could get, it's better than a smoothed over, sealed shut downstairs area. And I'd be even less bothered by it if the game included some juicy dude's nudity too. The Witcher 3 is beloved for its horniness, so let's embrace it.
Yeah, why not?
And then there's an update saying that they've confirmed to Kotaku via email that the visible labia/pubic hair will be removed, as these
Boo.
Textures were not meant to be represented in the release version of the
Boo.
Game.
Yeah. Rubbish.
Bring back the vaginas.
How does that happen? How does someone...
I think we know how that happens. I think it was intentional and they've been caught.
Somebody snuck
and they
that
think,
bad
oh,
man.
Yeah, this has not gone down well.
Because plausible deniability is probably their best course
because
of action.
Because there's no way that was accidental.
No.
Unless some strange member of staff thought, I'm going to try and sabotage this mod pack, this update, by sneaking in a vagina mod. Like, that's not what's happened.
We've worked with people who've brought unprofessional things to work, shall
yes,
we say.
Yes, we have.
And unintentionally, we've discovered that.
Yeah.
So this kind of stuff does happen.
Yeah.
At least it pertains to the game that they're making.
Yeah, you know? So maybe someone who was working on it on their own kind of system had also had that mod added in, and it then somehow ended up slipping into the kind of the whole package, as it were.
Yes. Do you remember... A few years ago, we were at Triple Jump at the time, when I think it might have been Watch Dogs Legion, or it might have been another Ubisoft game, and someone accidentally knocked over a female NPC and they had like fully rendered genitals.
Yeah.
And that person took a screenshot and posted it on Twitter and said, why is this? This is a weird like detail.
But they had
discover.
No underwear. They had a skirt on and no pants.
No underwear. And then you could see the genitals. Mm. And then they were banned from Twitter because they posted nudity.
Yeah. And weren't they banned from like PlayStation Network as well?
I think
something?
So. Yeah. Because they shared nudity. Mm. It's like, well, hang on a minute. It's in this. For some reason, it's in this game, and then Ubisoft fell over themselves apologizing and patched it out. Weird. People do this stuff.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Sometimes humans be horny.
Sometimes humans be horny. As long as you're being compensated for your horny, and it's a profession, then that's okay.
But you can't go to America. I forgot to say who sent that in. It was Blake Thomas, Bartek at BartolBB, and Robert Rochelle at RRRRAEW.
Excellent. Thank you, guys.
Thank you for sending
Blake Thomas having a good run today. Mm. Question one, podcast producer, news.
Bloody hell, Blake.
Blake,
calm down.
Calm down.
My weird news comes from Lloyd Williams, and it may have been sent on Facebook as well. I didn't check. I'm sorry. I'm really sorry. This is a story from Game Rant. Gamer finds Nintendo 64 controller in unexpected place while on walk. This is also a very sexy,
is it sexy?
One. This is a really sexy
Whoa.
One. Yeah.
It was up his ass.
A gamer recently stumbled across a Nintendo 64 controller and other items in an unusual place while they were taking a walk. That's just the headline again.
Yeah.
Thank you, Daniel D'Angelo. Hey, for... for writing this article. Thank you for writing this article. Here we go again. A gamer stumbled across an oddly positioned Nintendo 64 while on a walk. The iconic three-pronged handset was commemorated in a unique way alongside a few other pieces of 1990s electronics and paraphernalia. It then explains what the Nintendo 64 is and what the controller is. So here's the Reddit post. There it is. It's sort of like, it does look a bit like a fossil. It's a slab of concrete with some sort of darker gray outlines of various 90s peripherals.
Are they actually like actual things stuck in, or is it just...
Oh. I'll tell you. Sorry. Mm. And the Reddit post says, didn't expect to see an N64 controller on my walk through the Botanic Gardens this morning. So that's like maybe five times now I've said that.
He's been on a walk this morning. He's been on a walk, and he didn't expect to find it.
He didn't expect to find it.
In an unexpected place.
At first glance, it might look like Baxter Rocky, that's the username, stumbled across an actual N64 controller, mouse, phone, keyboard, and CD case embedded in the concrete as a strange form of time capsule.
Whilst on a walk.
Whilst on a walk.
This morning.
While it seems to serve a similar role to a time capsule, closer inspection reveals that the objects are molded from the concrete rather than stuck into it. The sculptor likely covered the objects in plaster or some other mold compound, then removed them once it's set. Whoever created the piece then filled the resulting cast with cement. Assuming the form wasn't immediately destroyed or thrown away, there could be more pieces like this elsewhere in the world. What a...
Got to pad that article
what
out
What a
somewhere.
Weird thing to say.
In Assuming other unexpected mold places. Wasn't away.
Yes. Yeah. It could have happened somewhere else in the world.
In an evening.
Maybe in an evening. Users on the gaming subreddit were impressed and amused by this unusual outdoor artwork in the park. Some people made jokes about ancient mysterious carvings. Meanwhile, the top comment suggests that future archaeologists might be very confused when they stumble across it, assuming that the people of 1990s Australia worshipped some particularly strange-looking gods. One eagle-eyed commenter, even managed to identify that the keyboard predates Windows 95 due to the lack of a Windows key. Altogether, the art piece makes a charming tribute to the Nintendo 64 and the 1990s in general.
Lovely.
Oh, there we are.
I did not know that the Windows key was as old as 1995.
I would not have worked
I
that out.
It was way more recent than that. But
there you go. That's my weird news.
It's good news.
Mm.
Thank you.
Weird.
Mm. Let's move on to a question.
Got a question here from Douglas York, who says, "Whub dub bap." My fave JRPG series, Shadow Hearts, released their last PS2 banger back in 2005, and then the series died.
Rip.
Now a spiritual successor called Penny Blood was announced out of nowhere after almost 20 years. It's not a sequel, though, because the rights and whatever, but it's got that same look and feel. What dead game or series would you love to see get the successor treatment, knowing it's not an actual sequel, but a similar game by the same boyos or girlos? Thankers.
Welcome, Thanks, Douglas.
Thank you, Douglas. One that I've just thought of, actually, that I didn't write in my notes was is Tombi, which I think does have... I think one of the reasons we've not seen a Tombi/Tomba sequel or remake or remaster is rights issues. I think Whoopi Camp, they developed it. I'm trying to think who published it. I don't know. But anyway, I think one of the reasons is a sort of a rights problem. So if ever they were to do more of that game or that style, the former developers could maybe get together and just like do something new. Call him another name that sounds like a European word for gravestone. Or
Tonka.
Two. Yeah, Tonka. And have to change it in other... versions. But what I did write was Jet Set Radio, and we've almost sort of, you know, people were making comparisons to Jet Set Radio with Hi-Fi Rush, certainly visually, and the kind of, you know, Jet Set Radio had a big musical kind of, the music was a big part of the game. Of course, Hi-Fi Rush is not a rollerblading graffiti game, so it's not in that sense a spiritual successor at all. But I would love to see more Jet Set Radio. I really enjoyed Jet Set Radio Future on Xbox, or was it 360? I don't know, but that was a lot of fun. And it's been a while since we had anything from that series. That would be great. And also, I think it wouldn't be a bad idea to have a go at a new-ish Duke Nukem.
Okay.
Because...
Is he going to behave himself?
Well, so this is the thing. I think I like the kind of the parody action hero, almost comically, I don't give no flips and I'm just like a cool badass man.
Yeah.
But then a lot of it is terrible and has, I don't even want to just say aged badly. I mean, it was never okay to begin with, mm-hmm. but you know, it's like massively sexist principally. It's probably various other isms in there as well. So Duke Nukem, I think as a franchise is probably dead now. I don't think we're ever going to see more Duke. We've seen him as like sort of DLC and making guest appearances and stuff, I think. But
all he does is say catchphrases though.
Exactly.
He's not even given a microphone to say anything else.
That's it. But what I do think could work is getting that team together who, you know, well, it's been various teams over the years, but like there've been some technically very competent Duke Nukem games over the years. And I also, broadly speaking, like the idea of a kind of a parody action hero. And I think maybe there's some sort of idea there where you could have a funny parody action game with modern technology, you know, current gen, but just not the Duke, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah. But a spiritual successor to him, mm-hmm. perhaps.
Nuke Dukem.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was originally going to say BioShock, and then I remembered that Ken Levine's making that Judas game that's meant to come out.
Oh, yeah.
So I couldn't say that because that's literally what's happening. But I would like a spiritual successor to Portal was one of the things I was going to say because, like you say, maybe they'll never get to work on another Portal 3.
Yeah.
But I would really like another game by the same group of people that, you know, has the same, like puzzle element, plays a lot with physics. There's a couple of other games that are like Superliminal and stuff that are very similar in the way that you have to solve the puzzles in each room, but it would be great to have another Portal-esque game. Mm-hmm. And also I don't know if it technically counts as a spiritual successor, but I would like one anyway. Some Playlink games. I'd like the teams that worked on those to make a spiritual successor to the Playlink games. You know, specifically Knowledge is Power is my favorite one.
Yeah, that's
cool. And I'd like them to make a upgraded version for the new PlayStation or, you know, something else.
It's a real pain in the ass to play those games on PS5.
It is.
Broadcast a local signal because it doesn't connect to the Wi-Fi the same way that the other games used to.
Exactly.
Oh, on PS4, sorry.
I'd really like them to do a spiritual successor to the Playlink games so we can play them with our friends.
Portal itself was sort of, I mean, it wasn't a spiritual successor, but it was inspired by someone had put together a game with Portal technology, and I think Valve hired them. They saw it. It was kind of like a proof of concept. It wasn't even a...
Wasn't it a Half-Life mod or something? It was using...
Yeah, I don't even know if it was... it might have been, but we've done it on a list like years ago. I remember seeing it thinking, wow, this is weird. But you would like physically move the portals around. They were like kind of big frames, I think, and you would have to do the puzzles like that. And then they were like, hey, come make a game for us about portals. So, there's definitely more to be done with that, I think.
I agree.
I've got a selection of seemingly abandoned PlayStation 3 era games that I really enjoyed, and I would like to... I'd just like a sequel to all of them, but if I can't have a sequel, then I'd like games that are very similar to them. How about New Resistance game?
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't exist anymore, but not a New Resistance game, even a spiritual successor, that'd be nice. Infamous, I really like the Infamous games, and those, we got one in the PS4 near the PS4 launch, and that was it. Warhawk, great little air ground vehicle combat game, multiplayer online. I played a lot of that, really enjoyed it. Motorstorm, a fun ridiculous racer where your car just explodes and you can have people on dirt bikes racing people in gigantic trucks.
Oh, Burnout,
good fun.
Just thought as well.
Yeah, Burnout would be nice. iPet. You remember iPet? That used the PS3 eye camera, and you had a little thing that you'd put down on a surface, and then a little like furry monkey cat thing would come out.
Yeah.
And you could like, I think you could later use the move controllers, but I think it predated the move controls.
Right.
And you could like clean it and feed it and play games with it. The PlayStation 5 camera currently has no use whatsoever unless you're streaming. And I know that there's VR2 coming out soon. But I just feel like, you know, release something digital maybe like that. Mm. You could have a little AR friend. That'd be pretty fun. Africa was a really weird PlayStation 3 exclusive. I don't know that it came out in the West, where you just sat for long periods of time in the I don't know, the Sahara and just, or the Serengeti, the plains, and took photos of animals.
Oh, nice. Mm. I love animal photography.
It was really chill. And I did buy it and import it because the magazine I read was raving about it. And I sat in a bush for like 25 minutes and then I got bored. But, you know, there's a space for games like that,
yeah.
Especially with the graphics these days. You know, you don't have to kill everything. You could just sit in a bush and take a photo of an antelope drinking from a watering hole.
Lovely.
Sounds nice. Buzz, the quiz game.
Oh, right, yeah.
Where's that gone? Give us a quiz game where you have physical peripherals. No one wants to buy plastic anymore.
Oh, I forgot to get my Buzz controllers while I was home this weekend. Damn it. We were talking about that the other week. Damn.
Pain. That was a fun one, where you just launch a man from a catapult into an environment and do as much damage as possible.
Break all his bones.
Break as many things as possible. There's got to be spiritual successor to that out there, probably. SOCOM, a slightly more serious military shooter. Feels like there aren't that many military shooters anymore that have a budget behind them. A lot of them died out because people stopped buying. Everyone just bought Call of Duty instead. Super Rubber Dub, the delightful game where you have rubber duckies in sort of like a 3D space, and you have to tilt the controller to tilt the stage and move the rubber duckies around and get them into the plug hole to escape the stage.
You want a spiritual successor to that?
I do want a spiritual successor to that.
You want some really weird stuff. You know
and
that?
Finally, the weirdest thing, Tokyo Jungle. This is a game that's set in the future after humanity has left.
Hmm.
They're all sleeping, probably. And it's in Tokyo, which has been overgrown. And you play as an animal of your choice, and you have to survive. So you have to eat, you have to procreate with other animals of your species, and you can play as all sorts of different animals, like big cats that have escaped from the zoo, or even elephants, I think, maybe not elephants, but like really big animals, and you just sort of have to survive. It was a really interesting and weird game.
I remember seeing that, but I never played it.
I just feel like Sony published and made a lot of really interesting stuff in the PS3 days, and they've just sort of given up on all of it in favor of, big budget, narrative-driven single-player games, which I do enjoy, but I like the weirder stuff. And if I could get spiritual successes to all of those, I would like that a lot. So,
wow.
So there.
Sounds good.
Sounds delightful. It's time now, I believe, for the big discussion.
Oh, yeah. It's big discussion time. Time for the big video game discussion that comes this week courtesy of Nick Mellish, who says, "Hi, Plopsicles. How much do you think performance and graphics really impact the general public? The online discourse with the Nintendo Switch is continually saying how awful and underpowered the console is and how we desperately need a Switch Pro and Nintendo are idiots for not giving it to us. But the sales tell and suggest people just don't care. Is there a large disconnect between players and Twitter/YouTube voices, or are they on to something?"
That's the thing, Nick. You make a good point. Sometimes there's a very, very vocal, loud group of people saying stuff like, "Hey, why doesn't this game have 120 FPS? Or why isn't it ultra 4K shiny? I can see every hair on that guy's ass.
1080i or we riot."
Yeah. It's difficult sometimes, I think, to separate what probably the overall opinion is on a certain subject or a certain game versus what it appears to be when you go online, when you go on Twitter or on YouTube. And so I suppose the best way to actually gauge that is to go by sales. If the sales are suggesting that people don't actually seem to care, which, you know, seems to perhaps be the case, then I'd like to think that that is the case all around, really. I personally don't care so much about performance and graphics as long as a game has to run properly. If it's all stuttery, that's no good. But certainly graphical fidelity, I don't mind so much, provided a game has a compelling story and is just fun to play. As I say, you do just get a lot of people screeching about resolution and frame rate and so on, like super high frame rates. As long as it's got, I can still play games in 30 fairly happily without, you know, stressing about it. 60 is nice, obviously, but anything above that, I really don't care that much. As far as I'm aware, I think it is probably likely, as with many things in the gaming world and the world of pop culture generally, you just have a very large, a very loud, perhaps minority on social media and on YouTube and so on, complaining about things. And yeah, it all comes down to sales, really. So I don't know about you guys, how you feel about it.
I personally think that Nintendo do need to make a Switch Pro just simply because the games that they're bringing out, just they don't run as well on the Switch anymore. But having said that, I think, like Peter says, I care more about performance than I do about graphics. And if a game runs well and works, the average person isn't really going to have an issue with it. But if we start getting games from Nintendo that don't run on the Switch, like, I have no idea how Tears of the Kingdom is going to run on the Switch because, I mean, Breath of the Wild did, but that came out 5 years ago now, 6 years ago. So, you know, these things have been upgraded. Have they changed much, or are they having to work down to what the Switch can handle? But I think that the performance of a game is important because if an average person gets a game and they're not on Twitter or they don't consume much media online, then they'll see a game that doesn't run and they'll either send it back or they'll, you know, not play it and the game won't get played. Obviously, if they've already bought it, then, you know, they don't care. It's already they've already got the money. But if they're sort of like a parent, for example, sees a game that doesn't run very well on their kid's Switch and their kid's complaining because they're like, oh, mum, the game keeps stopping or closing, then they're probably going to send it back more likely than, you know, an average person who can't be asked might. But I think that eventually Nintendo are going to run into an issue where the games that they are producing, which have to meet a certain standard nowadays for a lot of people, are just not they're not able to run on the Switch because the Switch is still using hardware that is the last generation of consoles that, you know, that most people use. I think it's going to keep selling and I think people are going to keep buying the Switch. And I think that if anything, you know, they're doing really well in that department. But I also think that eventually they're going to run themselves into the ground and they're going to run out of things that will run on the Switch. And unless they come out with a more powerful Switch, they're going to have to completely reimagine their whole system because eventually games are going to stop working on the Nintendo Switch. Yeah. So I think that maybe it's not that important right now, but eventually it's going to be very integral that Nintendo upgrade their stuff or their games are going to suffer. Mm. I think.
Yeah, I didn't think to specifically talk about the Switch, but yeah, I think in that instance, if they want to keep bringing out these current, you know, mainstream games on the Switch and try and still kind of compete in that field, something is going to have to give.
I think it's fairly safe to say that the Switch predominantly attracts a fairly casual audience, and historically, casual audiences just don't. Either they don't really care or they simply do not, or additionally, they do not have a voice within the sort of core bubble within which we find ourselves, you know, talking about games and dissecting them. If you're listening to this, you're part of the core audience of video games because you care enough to actually want to hear them discussed and dissected and so on. And for a lot of people who play games, that's not the case. They just want to buy it and play a game or be distracted on, you know, in the back of a car because they're 7 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of Switch sales that will tie directly into that. You guys are both bang on that it probably is time for a more powerful version, but this is the double-edged sword of being a hybrid console in that, you know, you've got to make it small enough. The form factor's got to be good enough that that it can be portable still. And I would say that the Switch, for me personally, is probably at the maximum size that I would feel comfortable using it.
I think it's too
out
big.
And about. I find it I play a lot of Switch in bed and have been recently, and I find it awkward to play. It's not so bad when it's like on my lap and I'm playing it, you know, in a car or whatever, or on public transport. But certainly, I think it's a lengthy lad, and if they went any bigger than that, I think they would have an issue. Technology's moved on a long way in the past few years. There are solutions, but these are problems that they're going to have to grapple with. And then, do they have a two-tiered system? Do they have a PS4 Pro, a Series X to their Xbox One, their PS4 base model?
Mm.
And then are they having to get developers to develop two versions? Are we going to run into issues like we did with God of War Ragnarok, like the ones you were voicing about how, while it's gorgeous and runs really well on a PS5, could they perhaps have done a lot more with it if it was just on PS5? Like some of the settlements feeling a little underpopulated because this version also has to run on PS4 as well.
And would the basic Switch then suffer in the same way that we're hearing with the Xbox Series? People, you know, some developers are saying
the Series S is hard.
It's difficult to, you know, we feel obliged, or sometimes we're legally obliged to produce a version that works on the Series S, and we just rather develop for the X. And if a Switch Pro came out, would you have people favoring that?
It's going to be a headache to police that by Nintendo. You know, what is the policy going to be? And then potentially they're now the second best selling home console of all time after the PS2. They've overtaken the PS4 recently. Mm-hmm. And so the momentum of this thing is not slowing down, and a lot of people are still buying Switches. Are they going to sell a load of Switches and then suddenly say, here's the Switch Plus or the Switch Pro? It's more powerful. It's going to better handle our suite of games and our vision for the future of Nintendo, you know, going forwards. But we aren't actually going to release any of these games on the original Switch. Mm. Or is it the Switch? Or is it treated as a proper sequel? Like, here's the Switch 2, and we can still release some games on the original Switch. But this is actually, I feel like Nintendo has a real problem sometimes with naming conventions, especially when they have a piece of hardware that does really, really well, like the Wii. They followed up with the Wii U, and even in the core audience, us following along, we were all kind of baffled by that. Like, what a strange name. That's confusing and weird. And how's that going to then translate to a casual audience who doesn't follow along with games? If they do the Switch Plus or whatever, the Switch Pro, and it is, strictly speaking, a sequel console in that it's got its own games, they need a good name. They need to be able to convey that to a casual audience. Otherwise, they're going to run into a lot of problems, I think, which isn't going to be ideal. But yeah, I prefer performance over graphics. And there is a huge disconnect between a casual audience and a core audience. And that's always been the case.
Yeah. But I do also think that just because people, like, not in every instance, as we've seen recently, the loudest group aren't necessarily, like, always correct. Mm-hmm. But there is, most of the time, some basis in what people are saying. In terms of this discourse specifically, people are saying that the Nintendo Switch runs games badly and is underpowered because it's now becoming underpowered at the moment. They might be over-exaggerating, and it might be that the vocal ones are just so loud that most people are like, well, I like my Switch, it's fine. But there is still some basis in what they're saying. And again, not every time, but most of the time, the core kind of argument that people are having does tend to stem from somewhere. So maybe there is this disconnect and people are louder, but there is kind of always a little murmur of something about something that's going to be, even in the most casual players, of being like, oh, I don't really use my Switch anymore because I just think the games don't run as well on it.
Well, that's the thing, yeah. And those casual players probably just won't voice that opinion or know where to voice it. It doesn't mean they don't have those thoughts.
They just put their Switch on their dock and they don't pick it up.
Well, exactly. Just like, well, the new Pokemon game was a bit rubbish. I probably won't get the next Pokemon game and that'll be it. And they won't tell anyone or communicate that to anyone because they don't need to. You know, they're not going to come on a podcast and say, oh, Switch is running a bit rubbish, isn't it? There's a lot to be said for obviously optimizing the games. It was pretty clear that the most recent Pokemon game was not ready to launch and will probably be a very different product in like a year from now. But yes, the truth remains that it's probably about time to start looking at either more powerful hardware or more powerful iteration or sequel hardware. Mm. I would like them to do another hybrid console though. Mm. But again, it presents a lot of issues, a lot of things to overcome.
I was going to say, with the sort of the vocal people saying, you know, voicing issues that they might have with, say, the Switch. The people who are maybe further out of the bubble might not, you know, either say those things or be aware of that conversation. But if you're somewhere on the fence and you're like, you're kind of looking into the video game world and maybe wanting to get more into it, that could be where you start to encounter it. So you might be thinking, do I get a Switch? And perhaps you think, I'll go on YouTube and I'll do a Google for, I'll do a search on YouTube for a review, or I'll search Google and find out what people are saying. And that might be where you encounter those slightly noisier people. Mm. So I suppose that is where it can have an effect, is those people who are thinking of dipping their toe into something and kind of looking into it and doing a bit of research, and then maybe that's where you start to see some of these opinions. So it probably does have an occasional impact on a sales choice every now and then. So yeah.
I do also think that nowadays people are more likely to speak to like their peers or look online for recommendations whether they should or shouldn't buy something, whereas like my parents would always have looked on like consumer reviews and like in the magazine or on like what's the gadget show. But now people are more likely to speak to their friends. Like I ask my friends, like, oh, you've got this game, is it worth buying? Or I'll be like suggesting to my friends like who aren't necessarily gamers, like, hey, you'll really like Disney Dreamlight Valley, you should install it.
But don't get it on the Switch.
Don't get on the Switch.
You probably surround yourself with like-minded people for the most part. But yeah, if you just sort of broadly ask social media, that's where you might start to encounter some louder views and in some cases, some to one extreme or the other extreme. But like you say as well, there's always a kernel of truth into some of the opinions that are being shouted about. So
Well, let us know in the comments below what you think of a more powerful Switch. Would you like one? And how should Nintendo do it? Should it be a sequel device? Should it just be another model? What are they going to do?
What are you going to do?
You're in charge. Yeah. Now we've decided you're in control.
They're going to read the comments and do whatever you say.
They are. Well, unlucky them. Be nice to each other.
The natural assumption as well with sequel consoles is to always just number it so it'll be like Switch 2. But if you think about it, the only people who've ever done that is PlayStation.
It's true.
Every other console has come up with some sort of weird other name.
Xbox confused me.
Yeah.
I don't understand it. Series X and S.
That was a bit of an odd one. But people do understand it, I think probably.
I always forget which one's which.
I think the naming's going to be really important. Or maybe not at all.
Maybe they'll just keep releasing games for this Switch until the game that you put on your Switch where the Switch physically explodes.
Oh, what a nice freeze frame we got there. Oh,
another one.
How long have we been like that?
Not very long.
And then the Switch U will be released.
Yeah.
Oh my God, they can't do that.
No.
The Switch 3D.
The Switch 1. Okay, thank you so much for listening, everybody. There's all sorts of ways you can get in touch with us. Peter's going to tell you some of them right now.
Go to youtube.com or twitch.tv/TeamTripleJump to see us doing videos and live streams. We stream on both, and when we're streaming on both, we're modded by Lord Brotovich, Charling Badger, and Mr. Black. Hey, have you got Amazon Prime? Part of that bundle that you are paying for includes a Twitch sub that you can spend on anyone you like, so why not spend it on us? Twitter.com and Facebook.com/TeamTripleJump for video and live stream announcements, legacy video content being uploaded there, highlights of the week from Twitch, little bits of weird news and loads of stuff. It's all put there by Fraser and sometimes us, but mostly Fraser. Thank you, Fraser. TikTok.com/@TeamTripleJump for our TikTok, where Ashton is ticking and sometimes talking. And patreon.com/TeamTripleJump to have a look at our Patreon, where there are loads of different tiers with loads of different rewards. So why not look at them all and see if one of them tickles your fancy?
Tickle. If you would like to go to our website, it's jj.mup, spells jump, it's very clever. If you want to join our Discord, jj.mup/Discord, chat with our wonderful community. On Discord, we're modded by Jack, Joe, Tori, and Hollow Eyes. And if you have to do something, bloody well do it, all right? And don't be any of the icks, transphobic, homophobic, racist, don't do any of that. In our Discord, please. If you would like to listen to the podcast in its audio forms, why not go to jjj.mup/podcast or check out one of our live stream VODs at jjj.mup/VODs. And if you want to book a cameo from any of us three or James Jenkins, why not go to jjj.mup/cameo? And if you want to buy some sick and cool merch, including the re-released It's Sports Time t-shirt and this in black, and this, is it still available?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, it should be.
And this shirt.
And that shirt. You can go to triplejumpshop.com and make sure you're following @triplejumpshop on Twitter for the latest merch announcements.
Absolutely. Instagram, Twitter, follow Peter and Ashton on them. They're there at @ThatPeterAustin and @ScrambledAshton. Do you want me to continue to promote Hive?
Not until Twitter craps itself. Yeah. No, I'm all right.
Okay, they're there. Just so you know. And I'm just on Twitter at confused_dude. We do lists every Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Streams every Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Thursday being the joint stream.
Blazer.
On YouTube. The other weekday streams being the solo streams on Twitch. That was really hard to say. Worst Games Ever is fortnightly, Friday for patrons of a certain tier, Sunday for everyone else. The podcast is every Saturday and we do shows all the bloody time. Come check them out. Why not leave a 5-star review on iTunes or your platform of choice? It helps something to do with Al Gore's rhythms. iTunes is probably really outdated now. I don't know that anyone listens on iTunes anymore. Maybe iTunes. Apple Podcasts is probably what it is. We need to update that. Anyway, there's all sorts of stuff coming out / has come out this week. Hasn't there been?
Yes.
Yeah, you've done a Quip Scope, haven't you?
I did. Yes, a sponsored Quip Scope with Jeb Jokets, all about Blanc.
Blanc.
Or Blanc. I think it's Blanc, which is a lovely co-op game. I think you'd really like it, actually. It's
I've
only
seen
a couple
it,
of
I
hours
think
long.
It looks really nice.
It's beautiful, and there's footage of that on the channel now. It's a sponsored video. Would really appreciate it if you could click the trackable link that's in the description in the pinned comment. That would help an awful lot. But genuinely, it's a really nice little game.
Serene.
I liked it. Looks. I really liked it.
We also have a ranked list coming out this this week. We'll be ranking every Castlevania game.
Alex is fairly confident it will be. It will be out.
Brilliant. Editor Alex thinks it's going to be done. And this is also the debut work of one of our new ranked writers, Travis. So it's very excited. Go show your support on that video, if indeed it is out.
Also, worst games ever. If indeed it's out, it will be out. Generator Rex. Also, a debut edit on Worst Games Ever by Alex.
Yes.
Our editor.
Yeah. So James is getting a little break.
Yeah, he is. So Alex has done the main menus over the years. Although James used to do them as well, didn't he? Or no, you used to do them.
I think it was me.
Was there ever a crossover period where James did one?
Don't know. I think it went straight to Alex.
Straight to Alex.
When we revamped it.
Yeah. So you'll know Alex from main menu and the ranks. But now he's doing a Worst Games Ever as well.
Hopefully more main menus coming soon as well. The first few months have been very busy and everyone's been off
dropping
sick all kinds of things. So hopefully more main menu coming your way soon.
Yes, we're working on it. Don't worry.
Stabilize the table somehow.
Yeah. Yes, without the I've drunk the Strongbow cans, so we can't use those anymore. Easter, don't worry. We will, Triple Jump will be here to save Easter.
Yes.
By the time the next main menu is out. Okay, Ashton.
Yes.
Is there a sponsor?
There is. It's set in the 1980s in America on the Broadwalk and that kind of thing. It is like a dragon, bitchin'.
Bitchin'. Fantastic.
Exactly.
Thank you so much for listening / watching, everybody. You look after yourselves and we will see you next time. Bye.
Bye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.